لازم نبتدي بضحكة.
So I'm like, yeah, I always start this podcast with a little bit of a laugh because for
me, is it awkward though?
It's no, because you know what it is. It's like, it's funny because, you know, we do this podcast because we want to publicize conversations that we have already, like these conversations. Yes. And it's fun because, you know, obviously recording the podcast forces us to have the conversations in a moment where maybe it doesn't feel so natural, but that doesn't change the fact that these things are constantly on our mind anyhow.
Yes, yes. And it gets natural بعد دقيقة.
Yeah,
يعني في الأول بيبقى في الأول كده اللي هو أنا فعلا عايز أتكلم بعد كده. Our brain goes like, yes, 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 you do, yes, you do, yes, you do.
Exactly. And so I think I laugh because I'm like, I'm so happy that people still see that in us, that they still very much see that this is such, it kind of just flows with us and it really is something that like is on our minds. We're not doing this because we have to or because I don't know, we want to be heard, but we do this because these are genuine conversations that we have in our minds constantly and amongst ourselves and we think might be important for other people to hear and engage with too. And this I think is like really pertinent, like what I'm expressing to the person that is here with us today.
Yes,
I think I have a lot of these conversations and I definitely have in the past with our guest today.
Yeah.
And it's always kind of like between her and I, and I think it's going to be really nice for people to also be able to kind of engage with this in a public way.
Yes.
And so I am genuinely so excited. Also because she's such a good friend of ours. So I'm so happy.
100%. I'm good. And I think when the conversations we talk about with our guest are usually different than other conversations I usually have.
So, I mean, without further ado, I'm really excited to introduce our guest today. Yeah, she's someone that I look up to, although she's younger than me, smaller than me in every way, petite human, but truly is in tune with how she feels and is honest and wears that on her sleeve. And so, yeah, today we have Taya Barsoom with us at the round table.
احنا بنتسكن على round table النهارده اول يوم. Yes. So we have a round table. It looks cute.
I'm excited with the round table because we get to look each other in the eyes the whole time. It's nice.
زمان كنا بنقعد جنب بعض فما كانش تبقى لذيذ في the round table. Okay, we stole your intro. Okay, so Taya Barsoom.
When do I jump in?
دلوقتي.
Okay, hi.
Hi.
It's lovely to be here.
Yeah.
And it really does feel like Monica, what you were saying, it really feels like I'm sitting with friends and with people I've had conversations with before. And it's natural, but it's also unnatural because there is a different setting to it and there's a mic in front of me, but I want to believe that it will feel very comfortable in a bit.
Yeah.
In two seconds.
Maybe in these 2 seconds we can quickly introduce the podcast because I always forget to do that.
Yeah, me too.
So thank you for tuning back into hopefully your favorite podcast.
Same time next week.
Cool. Taya, how are you doing? How are you doing today?
I'm good.
You're good?
I'm having pretty good day.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen you in a while. It's really good to see you.
Yeah, you too.
So your worst fears are?
Jump right in.
To clarify, Taya really does not. She's like, you know, Taya is such a like, she's such a humble human. She's like always wanting to like, she'll work at it, she'll do everything, she'll say it all, but she never wants to be recorded or videotaped for anyone to know that she's the person behind things, which is like lovely and all, but also we really want to like debut you to the world.
So this is your debut.
This is me and Firu choosing to finally debut Taya because we don't gatekeep around here. We're not gatekeeping that.
And you deserve it. She 100%. قلنا أكتر عن نفسك طيب. Like, who are you?
Okay. I work in 07 therapy.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's not who I am, but it's something that I do for a couple of years now. And I really love growing with it. I'm also a psychologist,
mm-hmm.
and I love working with children and teens and young adults. And it's not that I don't work with adults or that I don't, but there's something about this age group that I really love.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's this, I really love that I'm not that far away from where they are. Mm-hmm. And this, okay. I think, helps us kind of like understand each other, or mm-hmm. maybe them, or maybe like they,
no, fame was the goal.
What?
They're very different, I think, young people.
Yeah, I mean, I think also I don't hear often that like therapists enjoy working with kids.
Enjoying is the enjoying is a big word.
It's a big word, because I think a lot of people would be like, how do you convey really difficult concepts of like that? You like people, I would think like, how do you help, or how do you support a child go through different things without. Yeah. Maybe treating them like a child. Do you know what I mean? Like, how do you do that without being a parent?
Yeah.
To a child.
That's a good question.
Yeah, that's a really good question.
I mean, could you tell us a little bit about how or yeah?
I think there's like the first step is, or like the advantage is the fact that I'm not the parent.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, so. I can sound like one, or I can feel like one, maybe because I'm older, but I'm still not a parent, so I'm not
like you're an adult.
Well, also maybe it's
but you're also a childy person. Like you look very like child at heart as a person.
Yeah, so no one can see me, but I look young.
No, she looks young.
Yeah.
I look young, and I'm not a parent. And if I were to try and be a parent, it would be funny, because I'm clearly not, you know. So I need to try and not be, because I'm not. Mm-hmm. And I think I will always try and tell a child that I'm on their side. Mm, and if they don't believe the words, I'll just try and show them. Mm-hmm. And like, we'll just sit together and play a game. Mm-hmm. Or
I think in the Muhammad. Oh,
yeah.
Being on the child's side.
I think also like even just the concept of like, you know, there is a benefit in not being their parents, is that I think, I mean, I can, if I'm able to like go back into my childhood and like my memories of like, there is always a constant like power dynamic that happens between parents and children that naturally aggravate something that might already kind of not be going so well.
Yeah.
And so, and also, I mean, not to mention the fact that just because someone's a parent doesn't mean that they are inherently
good.
I think it's a skill set, or it's a learning curve for everybody.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, there is so much value in a therapist being or enjoying working with kids.
Yeah.
Are you enjoying working with kids?
Yeah.
And is it really difficult to make them, or like to allow them to really feel like you're on their side?
بس هي فيها حاجة friend-ish برضو.
فيها حتى friends.
فيها حتى friend شوية.
Oh.
فيها حتى my adult friend.
Yeah.
Like my fun uncle.
Yeah, actually that's actually true, and maybe sometimes it's hard to like set boundaries في الحتة دي,
because
احنا yes يعني I'm so like a cool older friend.
Yeah.
But I can't always be that, or I won't always be.
Oh, that's interesting.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's a bit, how do you draw a boundary? Because if you draw a boundary with a child, then you're a parent, I think.
Yeah.
And I think the moment, because I do the opposite of setting boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
We go full bananas in the playroom. يعني دايما الاهالي لما بيخشوا علينا ويلاقوا الطفل واقف فوق الترابيزه وبينط على مش عارف ايه, and they get super scared because like they're conservative and they're like rigid وهيك.
Yeah.
I don't know, that's very interesting.
I mean,
but that could just be me. That doesn't mean that انا صح. يعني بس الفكره ان I never like I drew boundary مثلا once when a kid was like throwing everything around, وانا قلت له لا بلاش لا بلاش لا بلاش لا, like, if you don't خلاص احنا كده مش هنقعد مع بعض تاني, because you have to do that with problematic kids.
Yeah. I understand.
Yeah.
But I don't mean boundaries, I don't think there are boundaries or that many boundaries inside the session, so or like when we're sitting together, but maybe outside.
Oh, 100%.
Maybe I'm not a friend every day, all the time.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, صح.
But I'm a friend in that session.
Oh, that's the
if that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense. Because kids دلوقتي already 10 and 8 year olds, they have phones, they can follow you on Instagram, for example.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
How do you allow them to be able to still see the value in something that feels not as temporary, but is compartmentalized kind of in their life? You know, it's like an hour session. And then be able to see the value in that, even if they don't have it every day. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it does.
Most kids especially will tell kids. Me, can we come tomorrow?
Yeah, exactly.
It's
a good time. I can have said, when I was working in the school, it was happening. And yes. It's not like we have, we have a door, but you can just open it. Like, it's not like the door is locked or like off limits. So, I had the mukuni give aywat.
اه طب ده مشكله ده غير بقى كلينيك وناس حاجزه
exactly.
واه
اكزاكتلي exactly. فما okay. فيش سيستم بيساعدك ان انت تعمل تحط ليميتس بالظبط وانت مش عايز تبقى بتحط ليميتس ومش عايز تقول لحد لا مش هينفع تيجي دلوقتي
فهمت that's very different though
yeah it makes it a lot harder
بس هي جت ان اكيد كيدز بيحبوك يا يعني.
اكيد
when they attach they like
anyone everyone yeah, and anyone who meets Taya loves Taya But I think, I wonder, I wonder, you know, especially
having...
The
question is still goes unanswered.
I was going on to my next question, everyone. Okay, I'm just filled with questions today. Okay, yeah, tell me.
I think, no, can I go first?
Of course.
Okay, I think, no, and I sad bafakkar of, am I benefiting the child? Like, are they being benefited by my presence, مثلا, by my presence, or by me being me, or by playing? And then I remembered, in when I was صغير خالص, I was going through, and كان حد في أهلي رايح مستشفى, كان في حوار very, very stressful. I was like 6 or 7. And they left me at a neighbor. And the neighbor was this very young, cool dude, nice. And all he did... I was very anxious because it was the first time I went to someone far from the house. And all the dude did was he opened up his computer and he opened up Mortal Kombat. And he let me play for 20 minutes without telling me, بطل لعب أو whatever. He just told me how to do the moves and he just let me play Mortal Kombat. And I remember it to this day. So I thought, oh, if I'm about my head كل أسبوع, that would probably affect them because that made me like feel either I can use games as like coping which I'm still doing
yeah,
because games is my number one coping I think and fried chicken but we stopped that but I think and deal حاجه بفكر فيها I think and هو I think and دايما حتى with adults like therapy happens in between sessions and we've said that and even after like it have a long lasting effect and I think with children that's the same case بس انا مش عارف انت how do you feel about this
لا, I definitely agree and I think and I've had these questions before I've wondered before like how helpful is this or what is my role and is my role enough like is my presence as a tiny little small part of their week with exams and tamarin and parents and friends and lunch and what is this little insignificant time that we spend together but then I always like remember things that we've done and how I know it that we've done together and just the sitting together and when the fact that they want to come back and sit together again just serves as a reminder in دي حاجة هما كانوا some of them of course like not everyone I've sat with before but the ones that I really like now miss and wish I could sit with them again and I know that they miss me اللي هو I know that we really had a good thing going and I know that I was an important part of their school like experience and they were a really good and a really like sweet part of mine but I know اللي هو it's just a space where زي ما انت كنت بتقول اللي هو ممكن اجي وممكن اقف على الترابيزة واتكلم في اي حاجة واشتكي
yes.
وقعد مع حد who's هيضحك مع يعني هنضحك مع بعض and هنتكلم في حاجات or we're gonna play a game or we're just gonna sometimes have to do things that are less pleasant because we need to but mostly we're gonna just spend time together and even if they're not always here the fact that they know that they can come is a constant so they're not always with me and they're not always sitting in this room
yes
but because it's there mm-hmm. and they know they can return to it it is a constant like safety
mm-hmm.
or yes. like a constant existence even mm-hmm. if it's not
oh I love that
I can imagine
constant
that
existence yeah. I love that
yeah I feel like especially in such a like tumultuous time that is like youthness like being a youth or like being a kid is so like fragile almost
so difficult
like there could be one moment that changes the course of your day your week and your life
your
of
life.
Course
May for May.
And so and that's also because you know we're just so, we're impressionable we're kids
yeah.
and so it's like being an impressionable kid I can imagine that small window of time that you're describing Taya being so massive for someone and I'm sure like
I think it's massive
yeah I'm sure it's massive I mean I wish I went to therapy as a kid I feel like
oh me too
I wish I went to therapy as
me
a
too
kid.
I just wish I went to that neighbor like once every month
Mortal
or something
Kombat.
Mortal Kombat for like but I think you know I think it's the relationship as well like the relationship we have with the kids are like theoretically they'll be able to focus on that's the number one thing that will have them getting improving
mm-hmm.
because they have a healthy-ish relationship with an adult and I think that really makes a lot of difference and they have a healthy relationship with an adult who's less critical less whatever less and more random more playing more childish
not necessarily a figure that they feel they need to rebel against
bezapt
yeah. there's and no need to rebel because we're
there's no need to impress
we
me
we can be ourselves mm-hmm.
they can draw a stupid mm-hmm. drawing and I'll be regardless
mm-hmm.
happy I'll kind of
mm-hmm.
and I think and I think it just makes a lot of difference and I think and kids they also get to practice autonomy in the playroom or whatever room. I think that الأطفال بيبقى مثلا يعني أنا فاكر إن في طفل اتحسن قوي when he decided he wants to come every 2 weeks, not every 1 week. And his parents were like, "Oh, that's صح." I was like, "Let him have this decision." And then he said that, and he's 8. He's a young. He's not. You can't even see the guy. But I told him, you know what? I respect your decision. And that meant everything to him.
Having what you say have implications of like of respect.
Yes.
As a child already.
Yes.
I can imagine being life changing.
May for me.
Yeah, one of my biggest. I know that one of my biggest challenges as an adult is that as a child I didn't feel seen or heard.
Oh, okay.
Or yeah. respected in like in and I so therefore I felt like I couldn't open up. I felt like I couldn't share what was going on because if I did, I wouldn't be believed or I wouldn't be respected. And I think that it's difficult for parents to create this environment for their kids. It's really hard.
Yeah.
Especially when you have that dynamic, right, of like a parent and a child.
And very often they're doing the best they can.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still
most definitely,
hard.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
It's
oh, I know my parents did. I know my parents did their absolute best.
Yeah. On the cut.
So it's like
it's okay to be mad.
Yeah. yeah. That's a whole other conversation.
That's a whole other conversation. Yeah.
Well, I mean, speaking of parents, I wonder for the both of you who are working with kids, is like how much of your practice involves parents, and how much are you engaging with parents or with the guardians or adults, and in teaching them how or guiding them in how to manage different situations with their kids.
I would say quite a big part, because the children or the teenagers they're young and they still have a very big like parental presence in their lives,
mm-hmm.
and that's good and that's normal, so their parents are involved, and some So they're always involved, or at least like they have to be involved, but sometimes it's a lot easier to communicate that a child needs like certain types of support at home and things that need to be done. And sometimes it's a bit of a battle, like where it's not necessarily very easy to convey that message, or
لا لا خبطي في الاهالي يعني خبطي في الاهالي لا احنا متفقين ان الاهالي بيحاولوا على قد ما يقدروا صح بس ساعات بيغلطوا غلطات كبيره.
I honestly think like saying that allows parents to be free of the things that they've done that may not not in a bad way, but in a way that says like that's fine, like yes, of course there are I understand there are limits here, and of course, you know, we're not talking about the, you know, extremities or and violence, and but I'm saying that if I feel that if more people were open to saying, I feel like I'm messing up here, I don't know what
you're
I'm
not messing up. I think you're more forgiving than I am to parents.
Okay.
Maybe I'm not in that state of my life yet.
But also maybe I'm not working closely with kids, and so I don't necessarily see that impact
even with
directly.
Adults. Okay. Like even with adult parents, I'm just much less forgiving.
Why is that?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I mean, I think I have that challenge. I think I am too forgiving when it comes to like people who are meant to be, not just parents, but people who are meant to be guiding figures in my life. And so I think personally, I have made a lot of excuses for the people who were meant to be symbols of leadership or of like guidance in my life.
All right.
And I think I've just made them more human. I think, you know, been my justification is that we're all just really messing around here. None of us really know what we're doing. But I do know that that is something that I don't hold, or I haven't held the people who were meant to be parents or leaders or guardians of my life accountable to my childhood.
I completely understand the sentiment. Aloha, it's hard to be forgiving sometimes, and sometimes I find myself getting very frustrated. I think for me their role, like Aloha, they're doing the best they can, and it's hard to have children, it's hard to be a parent, it has like so many things to consider, it's a constant work in progress, though it's not just something that you do and then you're good and خلاص. I completely understand that to the extent that I can when I'm not a parent, but I think for me a parent's role is to protect their child and advocate for their rights when they're too young to do that for themselves. And my parents did that with me, and I'm so grateful that they did, because they decided I needed to go to therapy when I was very young, and I couldn't have made that choice for myself. But they made that choice, and it was the right choice. And so when I'm frustrated or when working with parents is hard is when I feel like they're not doing that. And sometimes it's because they don't, I mean, they still, it's not that they're not doing it because they don't want to protect their child, but maybe they just don't, like, we're just not on the same page as to what it means to protect them right now.
Okay.
And that's also understandable.
It's navigating a lot of different relationships.
Yeah.
I really relate to this. I think it's the advocacy and speaking to their rights. I think that's what I cannot forgive. Or like I'm less forgiving. It's that they should stand up for their child.
And we try and help them. We try and say like, okay, I think that this would be, that this would help, or that your child seems to need this or that.
Yes.
And maybe they won't always listen.
I mean, I think it also, I'm also not a parent, right? But I can imagine hearing that from someone who maybe has just met my child a few months ago. And feeling like a little bit inside, like a little bit sad that maybe someone knows my child better than I do in this moment or about this particular thing. And so I think like as a parent, I'm sure that's difficult to hear, you know, to know that maybe it's not the knowing or like being familiar with their challenges or what they're going through. but also someone else knows better for my child in this moment, I can imagine that being a real struggle for parents.
Yeah, it is.
I think
it can hurt. You know,
it's hurtful, and I think ساعات إنه في أهلي بتبقى غيرانة. They're jealous that oh, you get to play with my boy.
You get the good side. You get the fun side.
You get the fun side, and you get to help, and you get to be idolized, and you get to be loved by my boy. Yeah, you're the superhero, which is a very, very difficult spot. And I usually try to make it clear للأهالي إنه أنا ساعة في الأسبوع, أنتوا الأسبوع كله. And if you get the freaking act right, and you might not even, you can save your money, the kid would not need therapy, blah, 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 blah. Which I think it is very hard.
Taya, do you think that your parents' decision to kind of have you go to therapy as a child, is it plays a role in you choosing to work with kids today? Like, is there a direct correlation for you, or is that kind of just like something that is a part of your experience? And
I think it's a little bit of both. I think that at some point I just wanted to work in this field. I wanted to be able to I guess I always did want to help others the way I was helped in a way. It was not like giving back or paying it forward. It was more like, wait, this happened and I want to play an active role in making it happen for more people, and show them that it's possible and make them maybe a little more hopeful, because it made me very hopeful. So, but I don't think I always realized how correlated they were, or how this led to that. But I do think that they're very much connected. So I would say
عندي سؤال. If you can, like, what is the الحاجة, what is the one thing that you would want to protect all kids from having? Like, what is the one symptom or one, like, حاجة that you want no kid to experience, or like your kids in therapy? It's a tough question.
It's a tough question because I want to say so many things.
Then say so many things. So we can pick one for that. Then say so many things.
I want to protect them from any... Like, the obvious ones are, obviously, I want to protect them from any, like, physical harm. I want to protect them from any kind of harm. And I want to protect them from the very heavy feeling of being... of feeling alone. I don't want them to ever feel alone. And that's where, like, sometimes they think they are, and they're young, and sometimes their feelings feel so permanent. And I always want to tell them things don't have to be permanent, or things can get better, and these feelings can come and go. But I'm like, I'm with you wherever you are, like, feeling them. So I think it would be feeling alone and feeling like being scared. I think I want to protect them from fear and very often their parents do that. They protect them from fear, and they tell them that they're not alone, and they tell them that they're loved. And that's another one. Of course, I want them to always feel loved. But you know how kids are, and you know they can have a little fight, or they're not allowed to play their video game, so they get angry, and they're like, "Ah, you don't want to be happy, and you don't love me." And so, الحاجات دي بتطلع في الأهالي أكتر بكتير ما هتطلع في حد بيجي مرة في الأسبوع.
100%
ويقول له كده, although it's a lot more believable.
Yes.
And that's when you think about it, like, oh, this is just your job.
Families.
But I think that's where the chemistry comes in. And if you really care about it, then it doesn't feel like you're working.
Yeah.
And they believe that too.
I think that's important. What would you, like, if you can protect kids from feeling haga, okay, what would you do?
I think, obviously, the immediate things that come to mind are, like, is the physical aspect of things, for sure, and also, like, just not being so trusting with like the adults in their lives, like also remembering that like that this is a precious person that is so that is going to absorb everything around them so quickly.
Yeah.
And so in that way, I think I would protect them from deceit, and I'll explain that. I think for a long time, I wasn't given the language of pain, so I wasn't explained. I didn't understand death, for example, or I didn't understand heartbreak because I wasn't given those that language to understand it. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of just conflated all of these different feelings into one that I didn't understand. And so it forced me to really bottle things up. This sounds convoluted, but bear with me. I think I didn't have the language to understand different things because I feel like I was, you know, my sisters raised me, my parents are a lot older. And so I was thrown into adulthood as a kid really fast without actually giving the language to understand different things because no one sat me down and explained that like, sometimes this will happen and that's not okay. Sometimes this will happen and that is okay. You know, just the basic, those basic forms of like honesty.
Yes.
In a child's life. And I think that if I were to ever have a child or be like a parental figure in that sense, I think I would try to protect them from that concept of protection, like don't talk to your kids about this, don't talk about this, don't. Mm. No, I think I would pursue honesty and openness so that when and if something does happen that I can't avoid, because we can't protect our kids from everything and we can't think of every certain moment that could potentially lead to violence in every single person's life, that at least in those moments, they will have the language to say, this is not okay. Sorry, so that was long-winded, but I think
it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
it does. Yeah. And it's like expectations, you know, you're also like setting expectations with yourself and with them, with yourself that you can't protect them from everything, and with them that there are just things that are part of reality, and it's good that they understand that from a young age.
I think I'd protect them from the guilt, that the guilt and excessive guilt, and that they're responsible.
That's a really big one.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
massive.
Yeah, like in the homa sebab, not whatever, because they're not.
They're not.
They're not, and if a kid, if في حاجة وحشة حصلت في البيت, it's not the kid's fault. If the kid does something bad, it can get better. It's just that guilt and responsibility. I think I'd protect against that.
I feel like hearing that, I'm going to cry. I feel like hearing that really does like speak to my like my child, like me, my inner child a lot. Like because I think I've continued that pattern of taking responsibility into my adulthood. That has forced me to, or that has disallowed me from creating boundaries. Like, I think those two things have, like, really been blurred.
Yes.
I've taken so much responsibility for, like, everything that I haven't been able to see that, or haven't been able to make the distinction between, what is okay and what is not. Yeah. I should stand up for. Yeah.
I still do, too. I wonder if something is my fault, and I carry that, the burden of the guilt, and it's a really, really heavy burden.
It is,
and it was just really genuinely comforting to hear you say that you don't want any child to ever feel that.
That was massive.
I think in Hawada, I think in it's the my fault part.
Even
the my fault, I turned out like this as an adult, as a child going into an adult.
And I feel like a lot of parents lean into that without knowing, but they kind of allow their kids to feel that way because it does take the burden off them a bit.
I think so.
And I mean, بخبط فيهم شوية بس هو فعلاً يعني like مش قصدي بس هو there is, and we all do this kind of, you know, even in every relationship, when we don't want to take accountability for something or when we don't want to have an honest conversation,
yeah,
naturally there is someone in this dynamic who is taking that responsibility.
Yeah.
Who is thinking about this and thinking, I must have done something.
بالضبط كده. And I think it can also be the other way around, عشان ما نبقاش unfair.
Yeah, of course.
Like a kid, like an adult could blame everything on their parents, and that wouldn't be fair. But I think it goes both ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if we're talking about children, I think no. If a child goes to sleep thinking, I've done nothing wrong, I think that's a good feeling. بس يعني مش اللي هو بقى رسمت على الحيطة مثلا.
Of course. Yeah, without the like entitlement أو اللي هو
من غير اللي هو كل ما استفاد الوقت كده. I think kind of that, that's what
or that I am not the sole reason that this has happened.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because it's very inherent to children. Like the number one feeling with parents get divorced is the child will think, always will think, it's my fault.
Yeah.
Automatic. So, yeah.
So I guess
with your kids, guys.
Yeah.
I
think I'd like
Mortal Kombat.
And listen to your kids.
Yeah, listen to your kids.
Listen to your kids. Play with your kids. Give them a space to talk.
Oh, yeah.
Or draw. Mm-hmm. Draw with your kids.
I think I'd like to do a little, like, one last question. For all of us,
yeah.
And we can maybe quickly go around, is like, what is something that you would tell yourself as a child?
It's not one last question. That's a very difficult question.
I know. I've already answered. Like, for me,
so many thoughts.
I'm waving my flag. I've already answered this question. I think for me, I would tell my younger self or my child that it is not your fault.
Oh, nice.
Nice. But yeah, what about you guys? One thing. I know there's many things and we can get super deep with it, but one thing that's kind of on your mind right now.
حاجة من نوعية you're not defined by one thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're not your grades at school.
Mm-hmm.
It's more.
Massive.
And it's going to be okay. I think it's going to be okay would come first.
Mm-hmm.
Like a primary, it's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're not your... Your grades, you're not your big belly, you're not your haggadi.
I mean, there's a really loud it's not your fault in there too.
So?
It's hard to like think outside of that one because that's a really, really big one.
Yeah.
I'm struggling with this one.
Yeah.
It's a difficult one.
It is, sorry. Maybe actually no, you are gonna answer, but also for everyone who's listening, it's okay if you can't think of something right away either.
Oh.
Like I think the purpose of this is to like take a second because it does require like some reflection of like your inner child.
Hmm.
I think it's the biggest reflection.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you reflect about yourself when you're a child. I think it's big. It's not your fault is really big.
And
do you want to say anything else?
I mean, I know that there's more. I want to say it's not your fault, and I want to say don't be scared.
Nice.
Not like of the dark
or
the future, but just you're happier when you do the things that scare you than when you wonder if you should for days and then don't do anything.
Mm.
So I think it's, I always need a push sometimes to take steps in the direction that I actually know I want.
Hmm.
And so sometimes I get a push from people I love in my life. And sometimes I give myself this push and I go back and like, you know, say, just do things. Go ahead and do it. And it's going to be okay if you do.
Mm. All right. So are you, does that mean we can get sessions with you now? Go ahead and do it.
No. Yes.
I'm so glad that we sat together today.
I think all the anxiety that I've been feeling before this recording for different purposes has gone lower now, and I'm glad that happened.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
And same.
Thank you for listening to us.
Think about your inner child.
Yeah.
And if you see the name Taya on 07 Therapy platform. That means she...
Farouche.
That's Taya
Barsoom. That means she's ready. That's Taya Barsoom, ladies and gentlemen. The a very, very good friend. And honestly, she doesn't know that, but she is a good therapist. Mm-hmm. She does not know this, mm-hmm. but she's a great therapist. Yeah. All right.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for joining us. And yeah, دايمًا اسمعونا على hopefully your favorite podcast.
Same time next week.
Bye, guys.
Hi.
Hi.
Are you struggling but don't know what to do about it? A clinical assessment with 07 Therapy can be the first step when you don't know where to start, who to go to, or which type of therapy will benefit you most. Clinical assessments are valuable if you've tried other forms of therapy and are still feeling stuck. The assessment can guide you towards leading a better life. Download the 07 Therapy app and get help today.